And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, Leslie M. Scott Jones and Clinton Johnston. Now, here's Leslie.
What's up?
How's it going, Leslie?
You know, I'm very glad I stopped and got the coffee this morning.
Oh, yeah.
The coffee was absolutely essential.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Is there ever a time when coffee isn't essential?
For me, no.
I think for a lot of people, though.
I mean, like I had to get espresso,
you know,
this morning.
I am not a coffee drinker.
Yes, I know that.
Which sets me, Sarah.
Also not a coffee drinker.
Oh, really?
Nice.
You're not?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, tea.
What are y'all missing? Y'all are missing out.
We're missing America's favorite drug.
That's you are.
That is so missing.
Well, I can't call it my favorite drug.
Is that? I know what you're. Love is the drug.
Love sure, we can drug. Call it love.
Goes by that.
We can call it that.
Street name.
Call it love.
Yeah, so I had both of my favorite drugs this morning.
That's a 70s song waiting to happen right now. We could call it love.
Right? I can hear the guitar riff now.
Can't you?
I can. That little funky.
Yeah.
I can hear it.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at it at all. That's awesome.
It's all.
We are so wrong.
It's all fun and games until the wah wah pedal.
Right? Yes. Oh my god.
Which I so miss. So if anybody's I have to warn our listeners.
Oh god. There's a warning already?
There's a warning.
We're only 2 minutes in. There's
only
a warning.
2 minutes in. There's a
warning.
Is this
a new record for the show? Yeah. I'm glad to be part of that.
If anyone is hoping for us to wake you up, I'm giving allergies have hit me. So, I'm going to be doing the late night DJ voice.
And that's really okay. That's kind of sexy there, man.
There you go.
Yeah. That's the new song.
That's like, welcome to Homegrown. Your show about local art.
I sense a theme for this show emerging.
I just realized right now, I always wanted to be a late night DJ.
Who didn't?
Because here's the thing, because people might not know this. Is that there are? I don't think there are any late night DJs left.
Like no, everything's recorded now.
Everything is so automated.
Everything is pre-recorded.
Like when I was a kid, and it's like you got your little clock radio. You're supposed to be asleep, but you're not.
But you're listening, right?
Yeah. And you listen. The late night DJ was your friend.
Yeah. Seriously, I remember listening to Wolfman Jack.
Yeah.
Wolfman Jack,
man. Ooh. Yes.
The Wolfman.
Like. I remember that, like, under my covers, like, trying to make sure, because my parents were right across the hall, and like, turn it down, don't laugh too loud. Yeah.
And he was kind of weird. I mean, after all, he was called the Wolfman.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time...
Well, it was the voice, man.
The voice.
It was the voice.
I mean, yeah. And the mofo, he was there for you.
Right?
He was there for you late at night.
Jamming.
That's what we're trying to be right now. There for you.
Except we're just early in the morning.
Early in the morning. But feeling like it's late.
Yes.
I
literally got 5 hours of sleep.
Oh.
Let's try to be there for our guest.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Strap in, folks. You ain't ready.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Sarah Hemfelt from the area's largest single repository of art, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
That's us.
How are you, my dear?
I'm doing well. Excited to be talking about how you can use humanities in your everyday life. Just that simple.
Oh, my goodness.
We've got the formula.
Oh, my goodness.
I, having grown up in this country over the past few decades, was under the belief that there was no use for the humanities,
right?
Unless there was some type of technical knowledge that you could use to, say, build a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
We also have that at the library,
right? I'm sure there's a book somewhere in there.
Completely useless.
Completely.
Yeah, I think when you talk about it as the humanities, that sounds
nobody
boring.
Nobody knows what that is.
Oh my god, boring. Like, I've already stopped listening, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But then when you break it down and get more practical, like, so in August, we did an emergency poem in your pocket day. Because the library is right next door to Emancipation Park, and that's our park. And
did you say emergency poem in your pocket day?
We did an emergency poem in your pocket day. So we talked to Rita Dove. We said, hey, can we use one of your poems and give it out on the downtown mall at lunchtime and get people kind of thinking about their community in a different way and give them some direct to? She said, sure. We got some of that. Some
get slightly in front of the mic.
Some copyright-free poems, and we went out and gave people poems, and so they had something else to think about while they were coming back downtown.
That's awesome.
So that's the humanities, although we wouldn't call it that.
Right.
Yep.
And emergency poem in your pocket.
Yeah, yeah, we're ready to go.
I think that should be a daily thing. I don't think that needs to be a one-day thing.
You come over and roll the poems, we can do it daily.
All right, I don't know if I have that kind of time there, Sarah, but
I'm just thinking about the...
You know what?
Suddenly I had this image of a little box on the wall with a small poem in it.
Break here.
Break glass or poem in case
of emergency.
Yeah. Nazis come. Oh, captain, my captain.
Right.
Take that.
We also have small Bill of Rights at the library. So also in case of emergency, we can,
all right,
we can get those out there. See what they actually wrote
down. It's kind of like a poem. It's in stanzas.
Not a very good
it
poem.
Is. Doesn't rhyme though.
It doesn't, but it stirs my heart.
There you go.
Does it?
It does.
Okay.
I'm so attached to the Bill of Rights.
Are you?
I'm so down with the Bill of Rights.
Even though it wasn't written with you particularly in mind?
That's okay. I grabbed onto it.
Okay.
There we go.
They
all
can't
right.
take it back.
I understand.
They can't take it back now.
That's right. It's on paper.
There you go.
People signed it and everything.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what, you know, you make strong political pronouncements. You got to be really careful.
Right?
Yeah.
All men are created what, Mr. Jefferson?
Hold up.
What? Okay. All right. It's just like...
If that's where you're going...
We're
going
to play this out.
All right. Go unsaid.
Yeah.
By the way...
Sorry, I'm gonna do what Tiff and I now call a Darien.
So how this is just getting ridiculous.
4 hours of sleep, allergies.
Right. I told y'all this is gonna be a bumpy one today.
Just about right.
Strap
I think at the right
in.
Level.
So I say, Miss Hempfeld.
Yeah. Seriously.
How can you use humanities?
Well, this Friday you can get humanities and lunch at the Central Library downtown because we've partnered with the University of Virginia's Connecting Through Humanities class in order to show off their final project of the year. So these are groups of UVA students and students at the Murray High School in Charlottesville who have been reading Russian classics all semester long in small discussion groups and then meeting weekly to do that. And now they're going to show off their final projects and then have a lunch conversation with anyone who wants to drop by.
Take it.
Yeah.
Let me get this.
Russian classics.
Yeah, let me just run through this again.
We're going to start way up high with Russian classics. I don't know how to spell their names. I don't want to pronounce them in public. We had a War and Peace book club last year.
Yeah, Dostoevsky. That's the only one
people
I know.
People came through it. People survived it. But not everyone who started came through.
I love it. People survived
way up
it.
There.
I was just saying, just the idea of the War and Peace book club.
Yeah. There were snacks.
Oh, my God.
There would have to be.
There would have to be. That's a long freaking book, man.
It took them like a year. It took them a year to get through it.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
So there's that.
Uh-huh.
And then there's high school students, right? Uh-huh. There's an alternative high school, so they don't usually go through, standard classics. And then there's UVA students who are from like all sorts of backgrounds, and they have to apply to get in this class. You can't just sign up for it. You have to make your case to get in this class. And the idea is that what they get from this is that they get to get out of their heads. So they're reading, they're reading this literature all the time. Well, what does that do? Like when, so you finish the book, like, so you know the plot.
So now what?
So what do you do with that? What do you,
Yeah.
So now you go out in the world and you answer questions. And one way to answer questions is to ask the questions.
Right.
So they meet up with people who haven't had a lot of exposure to this yet because they're too young. I mean, just straight off, they're too too young to go through this.
Right.
So they're going to bring a different perspective. The students have their own perspective, right? And then their professor has sort of an overarching perspective and thrust that he's getting the thing. And that's where the magic happens. That's where the connecting through humanities happens. So, and you don't even have to know you're doing it.
She's just slipping it in there.
You're getting something from the art and you don't even have to realize
it. We tricked
it.
You. Yeah. Okay.
Stealth art appreciation.
She has slipped us a Russian classic Mickey. That's what she has done.
That probably has a lot of Kahlua.
Right?
Yeah, it sounds gross.
Yes.
And a little vodka.
And a little vodka.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
More than a little
vodka. More than a little vodka. Yeah, potato-based vodka. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Russian bomb on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You dropped the Russian bomb on me, baby.
The Russian bomb on me. Right now.
So do you know which books they...
So they had a list of readings that they went through the semester. And so
I'm surprised they did more than War and Peace.
Yeah, so they're
right?
Short readings. They didn't tackle War and Peace, bless them. They worked on Dostoevsky's White Knights, Tolstoy's How Much Does the Land Need? Turgenev's Living Relic, some Pushkin, and then some poems by some poets that I don't recognize scrolling through this list. So, you know, I'm going to learn something on Friday about these. So they're digestible from week to week, and that they could read the text and work on it together in the classroom setting.
So do you know how they reacted to this, how they took it down? Because Russian literature is both... it's always hard to read anything in translation.
Yeah.
Right, because
it's so politically charged, like almost
both it both feels removed.
Yeah.
And stilted and distant.
It feels like old worldly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yet it's really, really intense. I mean, these are people who are struggling with really hard, hard questions.
How to define their country and define themselves.
How to define the nature. Yeah. How to define the nature of your country. Mm-hmm. How to define the nature of who you are. Like what are our rights to each other? What are our rights to ourselves?
I'm sorry. Are you talking about them or us?
There's a lot of angst.
So
talking about that, because we're all about making ourselves great again here. That's what
I think the Russians are difficult because there's like 1,000 different characters. We don't really know how to pronounce their names, like we talked about, right? It's a very specific time period that we're talking about that we don't really get to in Western Civ in high school. So you're something happened over there, then something.
Right.
But when you work together and kind of strip that all away, the story is still there.
And
right?
When you're my age, there's the whole Cold War.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting on top of it.
When I was a kid, it's like, study Russians, we're supposed to hate the Russians.
Yeah. Right. Right. No, yeah. What are we
these
doing?
Are different Russians.
are the good ones?
Right. They're different Russians.
Yeah. These are the ones we should know about? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But then, then when you start to read it and you kind of strip all that away and you're able to talk with someone about it, you get to those kind of real feelings, you know, what's a successful life? What can make you happy? What does it mean to be a hero? You know, all these have heroes. Who is the hero necessarily? You know,
And
then you start asking those questions about your own life and your own situation. And then you forget that you're talking about the book because it's a half an hour later and you're like, wait, getting back to this.
Yeah.
But really, you've been talking about it the whole time.
Wow.
It's exciting. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. I started to read Tolstoy like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And I couldn't hang in there. I just couldn't.
I think the best, what I found personally, the best for those kind of doorstop books is downloading them, because I can't carry that around.
But I can have
it on my phone, and then like if I'm real bored enough, I'll read another chapter. You know, I'll go back to
I have it on my I have it on my iPad.
Yeah.
You know, but still I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I got waylaid because then I found Henry James, and I was just like, okay, I'm good.
You're done.
I'm good.
And that's another one too. Like
writes,
it's very
writes
specific.
Like an English writer is actually also American. Done.
Yeah.
But that's another one. Like that time period is very specific, and they're going through certain changes that you may not have on the top of your head. Doesn't matter, right?
And it was very cool because like the first one I read of him was Diary of a Man of 50, which is a short book, But it's really interesting because of what it's talking about, because it's talking about this, you know, guy who's retired and has basically lived his whole life and is just kind of wandering around the world waiting to die. and like goes back to where he spent his youth to try and find his love, you know, the woman he loved when he was in his 20s. And it's like a book of regret, and it's so interesting, especially hear that from a male perspective, because that's not something you think men do.
Right.
See, that seems so distant now, because today it would be like, it's a guy of 50 it's a guy of 67 who's retired, and now he's fighting for the greeter position at Walmart.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that's why these intergenerational book clubs are so great, because we've done book clubs with, we used to do a senior and senior book club with high school seniors and seniors at the senior center.
Oh,
and
that's
so
cool.
They would look at the text together, and the seniors would be like, well, when I was that age, this is what happened. And the high school seniors are like, I am under so much stress now.
Right.
And then it all comes together. Like, I would have if I had just read that on my own and put it aside,
never made that connection.
And I wouldn't have liked it as much, right?
Yeah.
And put it away.
Yeah.
So I think that we're going to see a lot of that on Friday, too. The students coming at things from a fresh perspective with no kind of hangups on it, and then really just blowing up the text and like, here, this is what it means.
So I feel like I cut you off. How did the students react to the material?
I'll find out on Friday.
We'll find out on Friday.
Yeah, so they've been working together since the beginning of the semester, probably September. The UVA students did some classroom work before they went out to Murray to do that.
So what was the role of the UVA students? Were they there to be a mentor role? Were they coming in at that level, or was it more like what you're talking about with the intergenerational book club?
That's a great question. Yeah, because they're calling it near peer mentorship, because these are, you know, maybe 19, 20, 21 year olds talking to 16, 17, 18 year olds. So their ages are pretty close, but they're at different phases of their life.
Yeah, like, but their faces are really
the switch has flipped, right?
Yeah.
So near peer. So this all emerged from Andrew Kaufman, who's the professor at UVA. He did Books Behind Bars. So he took UVA students into a juvenile correctional facility and did a similar program with the same text. But he wanted to take this model and push it and bring it out to the community. So that's why they're at Murray High School now, and see what will develop from this. So the idea is not that the UVA students come from down the hill and say, we have unlocked all the secrets to Russian literature
and listen to us.
And,
yes.
Right, like, who,
and here,
we come to you
let
from
me
the great
give
land.
You the
Jefferson's plantation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Boring. Like, people are not going to show up to that if they have a choice.
Right.
So instead, the idea is that the UVA students make a promise to come equipped to facilitate the discussion, right? And the high school students, the younger students, come with a promise to have read and digested the information. And then they promise to
each other. So they can just have a conversation.
To have a conversation about it. Yep.
And that's
And so that's why these poems are a great model. If you forget to read it, you can read it right there in the session and catch up, right?
Holy crap. Are you trying to teach children to think for themselves? Are you insane?
Guilty.
That is not how this is done, Sarah.
Yeah, that's why we do it on the DL. And with snacks.
And with snacks, of course.
We should do a drop.
We should. Let's do that. Let's pay half a bill, shall we?
I love how the amount of bill just keeps dropping. If anyone wants to sponsor the show,
we'd really appreciate it.
Please do, before we get down to paying a quarter of a bill. We can't even pay a full William.
I can't believe I laughed at that corny joke.
19 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art. We're here with the wonderful Leslie M. Scott-Jones. Hey, there she is. And our guest, Sarah Hemphill from the Jefferson-Madison Regional Library, the only regional library that you'll ever need, really.
Yeah, I hope
so. At least
so.
In this region. That you'll ever have, also.
The best choice.
Federally funded regional libraries.
What? I can't remember. My days are running together. Monday or Tuesday, I was in town all day, but I had stuff to do. And normally I go somewhere with like coffee and eats to just sit and do. But I had to get something notarized.
So that's where we come in.
And I didn't, a friend told me, like, oh, they've got them at the library. I'm like, what?
They do. We are.
And they were like, yeah, it's free. I'm like, what? So I went to get my stuff notarized, and I was like, well, wait a minute. I could just sit here.
With your coffee.
In a quiet spot.
Yeah.
With the coffee I got and the free Wi-Fi, yeah. And like do
surrounded
the rest of my
by
stuff.
Magazines, newspapers, and books.
Surrounded by books.
Yeah. I tell you, the hardest thing to do in the library is to shelve the books because you're like, oh, what's this? Oh, what's this? Yeah.
I'm just going to take the chart. Wait a minute. I wanted to read that. I'll just sign that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was one of those kids that always had a book with me.
Yeah, nothing makes me happier is than like running into a child who's leaving the library reading the book.
Yeah.
She just checked out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let me get out of your way.
Literally and metaphorically.
Yeah. No, and my daughter was the same way. Everywhere. To this day, she's still everywhere she goes, that's she has great. A book with her.
Yeah. And one of the things that we do at the Central Library is do donuts and dads on some Saturdays.
Uh-huh.
So you just come with your male figure and we have donuts and you just get to be around books. So it's a great way for them to model like engagement with literature and still get a snack, which it all comes back to.
It always comes back to food. Food.
Yeah,
that's
the
way to get them.
You can get
Food's
them in.
Very important.
Yeah. It is.
Food is very, very important.
Yeah.
We just
well,
came
donuts,
off an entire holiday.
I mean, you know, and donuts, of
and
course.
Donuts. And donuts.
Donuts are very important.
Why do you think we connect our law enforcement with donuts? Like, they're two crucial aspects of our society. You don't see cops stopping by the fruit stand.
Right? Well, it's because fruit and coffee don't really go together.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no dunking.
No.
You know, you can't...
Dunk a blueberry.
You can't, yeah, you can't dunk a blueberry. Yeah, it doesn't work.
It has to be encased in delicious fried...
Yes!
Yeah.
Right.
You're not going to be able to get through a really high-powered steakout with, like, potato chips.
Too loud.
Too loud.
Right.
Donut's quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
A donut is quieter.
There we go.
That's right.
Yeah.
We have just solved the mystery, folks.
We're doing good work. Again, 4 hours of sleep. Allergies.
So how did the JMRL get involved in this production?
So this is a wonderful story. So just like Leslie was saying, Fritz Kaufman would come to the Central Library just to get his work done. You know, when UVA was out of session, he'd come work on his projects there, kind of saw what we were doing, was familiar with some of the programs we do. And he said, well, how do you get your community partners? And I say, sometimes I just come up to us and ask us, how do we get our community partners?
There we go.
So again, his idea was to take this Books Behind Bars model and push it out into the community. So he's looking around for partnerships, and we were part of that conversation too. Uh-huh. It made more sense for him to go with Murray High School because then he knew that there was a group of students that his students could meet with on regularly. You know, he wasn't just sort of dependent on
people showing up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we also offered to host sort of the showcase at the end of it. So it's a way for them to come out sort of a neutral side. So they're not going to UVA. They're not doing it at Murray.
Right,
you know, it's a third place that they haven't seen before. And
I would think that would be really important because...
Oh, yeah. Because if it's at Murray, then the UVA
students
are going to feel...
It's the same old
feel
like they've been meeting at Murray all year. And just another...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they're meeting at UVA...
Where do you park?
Well, and the kids might be the 16, 17-year-olds might be intimidated,
right.
Especially if some of them had never even thought about going to college. All of a sudden, they have to go to a college campus and have this major discussion about this, you know, really dense work with somebody who knows it better. Like that, that might be intimidating.
And I would think for this kind of thing that you don't want to put them in a classroom setting.
Yeah. Right, because you want the conversation to flow freely.
Right.
Yeah.
And they wanted people who hadn't been part of these conversations, people like you and me, to come and check out the work and see, you know, like an art gallery.
Yeah.
See what kind of art they made from reflecting on this art. We have the space for that. People know where to find us.
So talk about what's happening on Friday.
Yeah.
This is going to be open to...
So this is open to the public. It's going to be Friday starting at 11 in the McIntyre Room at the Central Library on Market Street. Mm-hmm. The students will present, talk about what
the McIntyre Room, which I like to think of as the Big Happy Fun Room.
That is the Big Happy Fun Room.
On the third floor of the library.
Yes. A lot of glitter on the floor. A lot of glitter lost their life in that room.
There's a lot of glitter.
And popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again,
for years, the juggling club, you know, met there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that feeling infused itself into
the walls. Into the walls. So you just walk in and you want to juggle?
Yeah, it's the big happy fun room.
Okay.
I'm going to have to, see Monday. I will check that out and see what I feel. 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
The students will be there. They'll talk about little presentations on what they've done. And then we're going to serve lunch. And at the tables, you'll have little groups of the students. So you can sit down and chat about them. You know, if you've read the same piece that they have, you can choose that one. Or if you were just kind of taken with what they had to say. Sit down and chat. And so that's the kind of conversations we hope to foster at most of our programs.
Mm-hmm.
But this one in particular.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That is astounding.
I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is.
Are you working Friday? You want to go?
I'm always working.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I am always
working. Come on down the hill real quick.
Yeah, I should too. I'm going to take a break for a few minutes. I'm going to go talk about some Russian literature.
Yeah,
BRB.
Be right back. BRB,
yeah. As you do.
My boss wouldn't blink at that at all. He'd be like, yeah, okay.
Whatever.
As far as excuses go, like, you're not going to repeat it, right?
I'm going to go to... It's like, yeah, so especially since the summer was like,
yeah.
I'm gonna leave for a couple minutes and go check out the Nazis. You know,
yeah,
cool.
That, yeah, I mean, once you said that out loud once, like, right? Yeah, yeah.
Anything
is really okay.
That's happening. Yeah,
yeah.
Sarah,
yeah.
So, thank you so much.
I'm so glad to come out. Good to see you guys.
Awesome.
Once more, remind us of the what, when, and where.
This Friday, December 1st, the Central Library on Market Street, McIntyre Room, you are going to connect through the humanities by listening to Murray High School and UVA students talk about Russian classic literature.
Should they read the Russian? Should people
read
the
Russian? Don't do any homework.
You don't even have to read the Russian literature before.
No. Mm-hmm.
But
no, that'll be the fun of it.
But if you're motivated to read some afterwards, guess where you can get fine works of Russian
literature? Do you know what the tallest building in any town is?
No.
It's the library because it has the most stories.
Oh!
He's entered a corny joke.
Reference and Adult Services Manager, Jeff Simmons, Regional Library. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Oh, lettuce.
Wow.
That was awesome.
That was... Love talking Russian literature.
Thank you, guys.
I think it's time to talk about some stuff that's coming up.
Yeah, let's do that. Some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running through January 16th, the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection presents an off-site exhibition, Defending the Ocean, 21 works by contemporary Indigenous artists celebrating the central importance of the ocean to human life at the Charles L. Brown Science and Engineering Library in UVA's Clark Hall. That was a lot. Last chance to see the American Shakespeare Center summer fall season final show, Much Ado About Nothing, at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Now through December 10th, A Christmas Story, the musical at Four County Players. Oh my God, it's sold out.
Sold out.
But call over, talk to Ro. She might be able to get you in.
So this is an important thing. This is a learning moment for us. So when there's a sold out show.
Yes.
That doesn't necessarily mean that you don't get to see it.
That's true.
It just means there are no tickets that are absolutely available.
Right.
But you can go check.
You can always check because some people, you know, something happens, they don't show up, a ticket's left, get waitlisted. It's worth it.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow through December 3rd, auditions for West Side Story at Piedmont Virginia Community College. Wow. West Side Story. That's a musical. November 28th, Laugh Your Ass Off Comedy Open Mic Night at the Southern Cafe and Musical Hall. Oh, our friend Chris Allen. All right. November 29th through December 27th, the American Shakespeare Center presents its holiday season with A Christmas Carol and a new holiday play, Every Christmas Story Ever Told, and then some, at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. November 29th, whether you're interested in writing personal essays or working on a memoir, the Charlottesville Writer House class on nonfiction will provide you with the resources to tell your story effectively, led by Jody Hessler. Get on over there, people. November 30th, UVA MFA Reading Series continues this week with Sarah Brickman and Piers Gelly at New Dominion Bookshop. The Hoss of Belt... Really? The Hoss of Belt drag show returns.
I think it's spelled Hoss, but I think it's pronounced House.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The House of Bell Drag Show returns to the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. I believe they were a guest on the show.
I do believe they
Yes,
were.
Might want to look back through some podcasts, people. December 1st and 2nd UVA Fall Dance Concert at Cobra Theater. December 1st through January 6th, Sweet Charity at Live Arts. December 1st through December 29th, UVA student Kristen Heinrich presents her work Transient Places at the New City Arts Project. The 1st through January 19th, Drawn to Charlottesville, a group show of 12 local artists being shown at 2nd Street Gallery. December 2nd, Charlottesville Ballet's The Nutcracker at Waynesboro Theater. Also on the 2nd, PVCC Pottery Club Sale at the V.R. Blickinson Building at Piedmont Virginia Community College. Earliesville Writer Art and Craft Show at Earliesville Firehouse. 11 artisans get together at the Free Union Artisans Open House at Free Union Country School. And for your music options this week.
Today, the Cool Blue Quintet at the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Jenna Matthew at the Glasshouse Winery at 2 p.m. Jelly Street Jazz at Albemarle Ciderworks at 2:30 p.m. Also today, Deborah Guy's band Help Me Helen plays the James River Brewery at 4. King Golden Banshee tonight at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Tomorrow, you can catch the Waynesboro Choral Society present their Come On, It's Christmas program at Waynesboro High School. On the 30th, it's the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar, Coda and Marie at Dirty Nelly's, the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's. December 4th, Gypsy Town at Wild Wolf Brewery, and guitar-driven indie rock with Gold Connections, along with Mo Luoda and the Morning Teleportation at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Also on the 1st, Overdog plays classic rock, blues, reggae, and the Grateful Dead at Glasshouse Winery. Also on the 1st, Susan Munson, Kate Bollinger, Soju Blue, and Harley and the House of Juniper play Femme Funk, benefiting the Shelter for Help and Emergency at the Ante Room.
Hey, Susan!
Hey, Susan! On December 2nd, Charlottesville Opera brings in Broadway performers for Broadway in Charlottesville. Also on December 2nd,
Jim Wayne!
At Albemarle Ciderworks. Willie D. Band at Batesville Market. Nelson County Community Orchestra presenting their holiday jubilee at Rhodes United Methodist
Church. Ooh, a jubilee?
A jubilee. At Rhodes United Methodist Church. Yes, they'll be presenting everyone's favorite X-Men.
Right? Well, she is kind of mine.
She's so great.
She was so cute.
She's the only decent 90s X-Men. December 2nd, Love Me Do does their funky take of Beatles music with Bobby Midnight Band at the Ante Room, Sammy Horn, and then John Dearth at Fellini's on the 2nd, and your favorite Appalachian garage surf punk band, Luca Dora, at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Friday morning is the West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. And Seafoot, the Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, having their weekly jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church.
Where else?
Every Tuesday equals the traditional Irish session at the
Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
Also, the Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas at the Bebedero.
Ooh.
Every Wednesday is the Open Mic Night at Pro Reynada Farm Brewery.
Bam!
The Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bam!
Jazz Collective No. 9 at Fellini's No. 9.
Bam!
Bachata Fusion at the Ante Room, presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club.
Bam!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero.
Bam!
And the Mike Rosinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Ooh!
Every Thursday, Lua at the Bebedero. And if you just cannot keep yourself down in the town, every Thursday,
John Dearth!
It's the John Dearth Quintet at Miller's, because every once in a while, he's just got to come down to Dearth.
Woo!
Yeah.
That was a list, man. There's a lot of stuff. There's a little art going on in this town.
So
I'm just
much.
Saying.
Let's hit a drop.
This is Andy Davis from Bent Theater Improv Comedy, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local arts on 94.7.
WPVC.
God! 94.7. WPVC.
I love Andy. Hey, he wanted us to leave it in. I just want y'all to know that.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Did.
We just begged. We're like, that's it. That's the drop. That is it.
And everyone who knows Andy is going, yep, that's him.
35 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC. Stay home. And this is Homegrown, your show about local arts. Stay tuned after the show for Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is going to be McCall Dempsey, founder and executive director of Southern Smash, talking about eating disorder awareness. But before we get to that.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Hey, I say that every, I sometimes mix those up.
We're here with our man Jamal Milner. What up,
what's
Jamal?
Up? Hey, oh my God. I haven't seen you in forever.
Hey, I'm hiding out in the lab or practicing or at my radio-y job.
Yes.
There you go. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Hey, it's a beautiful Sunday. I guess we can, I guess the possible effects of global warming. But it's really nice out.
We don't think like that. It's just the Chinese hoax.
Exactly. That's a hoax.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a Beijing boondoggle.
Yeah, right? Lies. Thank you. It's all lies.
Well, whatever
Shanghai
reason.
Shanghai shenanigans. That's
exactly.
What
and he had all kinds of alliteration. Also, how cultural our area is. Man.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
It's like all these diverse
like
types of
the list gets longer and longer every week.
You have to get those lungs happening before that list.
Right? Like, wow. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
We do the list sometimes, and sometimes we do the list, and it's great. It's great to watch guests like listen to the list sometimes because there was one point where somebody turned to us like, we've got a whole lot going on,
right?
Like, yeah, that's why we have the radio.
That's
show.
Why we have this. Like, we want y'all to know about it. Yeah, there's a lot of art going on in this town.
A wonderful artistic town.
Yeah, lots of talented people and great. I mean. It seems like events for all ages and people to participate.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a very wonderful thing about our area.
Yeah.
If you can get a ride, that's lovely transport. But if you can get there, there's a lot of great things to do.
Yeah.
And of work them is Monday.
Yes. Tomorrow.
What are you doing on Monday?
Well, I will be at the Tin Whistle. I don't have my brogue.
The Tin Whistle Irish pub.
I do. I'll be like on what was it? Blazing Saddles. I have Irish ancestry.
Me too.
But I won't utilize my my accent that doesn't exist. But I will be at the Tin Whistle Irish pub playing with Robert Jospe and Pete Spar. We're going to be playing. It's Jimi Hendrix's birthday tomorrow. And so it would be his 75th birthday. And Jimi Hendrix is one of the greatest musicians of the 20th century.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
And very influential on all types of music outside of rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
And he's one of my great influences as a musician when I was growing up. But to this day, I still really love his music. So.
Word. Now, can we just sit with that for a moment?
Yeah.
Can we just, like.
That he would be 75.
75, yeah.
Yeah, that's a trip, right?
Like, he'd still be here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, maybe he would have burnt out. Maybe he would have gone through an uncomfortable Christian phase. Who knows?
It happened. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know who's hung out the whole time.
I don't know. I don't
maybe,
see Jimmy
maybe
with
we'd
the
be
Christian
sitting here
phase,
saying, like,
but...
yeah, but the children's album, that was just.
They made that disco record. It was the disco record.
The disco record. That guy. Yeah. You know, everybody got to eat.
Hard,
you know what I'm saying?
Saying? But no, there's something about the disco record. Maybe all that would have gone down. But think of like what it would have been if we had like decades more.
Well, yeah. Think of all of the music that we would have gotten. I mean, he was already decades past his time. You know. I mean, just think about how he would have changed what came after him.
Yeah.
Do you think,
Jamal, do you think it's fair to say that Hendrix reinvented how you play the electric guitar, how you approach the guitar?
Yeah, I would say that. I think the biggest innovators of electric guitar and maybe guitar are Charlie Christian, who is a guy who was in the bebop era. Uh-huh. And he also died really young. He's from Oklahoma. But he was the first guy to be very virtuosic on the electric guitar, but was also influential on other musicians and other music. So most guitar players is kind of an insular thing. Like most guitarists only influence other guitarists. But Jimi Hendrix influenced music in general.
Yeah.
So, like, hip-hop. That has Jimi Hendrix in it. I mean, we get funkadelic, we got country music, all kinds of the technologies. Like he, you know, the ways he was starting to use the gear, like that was just coming out. Now that didn't exist before him, but he manipulated with other producers.
Yeah, think what he would have done in the digital age.
He was also getting more into like. I mean, he probably, what happens to all musicians, you outgrow your fan base, and he was starting to do that, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, you start making music you like, or that's more complicated. So he was probably, maybe had big band music, or more, maybe jazz fusion, some of the stuff like Miles Davis started doing
early on.
Maybe, you know, he would have participated in things like that. Who knows? We wrote Contrafactual. Is that what we're being? This is a good one to be Contrafactual over instead of Stupid Nazis, for example, like that TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Positive, I'm with you. Contrafactual.
I'm with you. Okay, so I mean, you're obviously a Jimmy fan. So did you start this, or did someone come to you and say, "Hey, I know you're a Jimmy fan. We're doing this."
No, this is all by I guess was it serendipity. Mm-hmm. The Charlottesville Jazz Society is who's so that's funny to say Jimmy and jazz, but yes,
yeah, Jimmy Jazz and the Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
Oh, this is cultural.
That's a strange three.
That is, but it works.
America, actually. So, yeah, the Charlottesville Jazz was going to have me perform on this day, and it just happened to be Jimmy's birthday.
Uh-huh.
And so that's, kind of give up respect to, again, one of my favorite musicians of all time.
Right.
I can remember the first time I heard it. Like, my dad and my parents had great taste in music. They weren't musicians, but they had great record collection. Mm-hmm. And I can remember when I first got my own record player, I'm into hip-hop because it's, you know, the early 80s.
Right.
All my DMC, Houdini, whatever else I'm listening to. The early, I liked I Need Love, LL Cool J.
Yes.
But I know you like the post and probably current LL.
I do, but I like the pre-stuff too. I like all of it.
So I'm listening to that kind of music, and my first record that gets played on my first record player is my dad has Electric Ladyland, and he played it, and I thought it was the worst sound I ever heard, ever.
Really?
I was like, this is horrible. Like, and it was about a week later, I went and got into their great stack of records, and I found another Hendrix record, The Cry of Love or Rainbow Bridge. I can't remember which for sure, but there are two records right beside each other. They got put out after Hendrix passed.
Right.
And I listened to that record, and it was so deep. And then from that moment, see, I could be like a rich computer nerd. Now I was very heavy into the zeros and ones.
Yeah.
But then that Jimmy record took all my attention and made me. I played guitar and music before that, but not seriously.
Mm.
And after hearing that, I was like, well, you can do that with a guitar. And it made me inspired to try to learn to do some of those things.
Very cool.
But I remember not liking it. And then a week later, it was just. So my dad is kind of like, well, it's kind of like you got an inoculation or something.
Yeah.
So
no, my daughter had the same thing with Nina Simone. When I first played it for her, she was like, why is she so sad? Like, what do you, I don't like that. And then we were on a road trip. And I made a compilation of different women singers. So it was like Nina and Sarah Vaughan and, you know, Billy and, you know, and just kind of played it in the car, and by the time we were going to North Carolina, about 3 hours in, all of a sudden she's singing along.
That's what your parents.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Spread the culture.
Of course, you know. So I'm always very proud that, you know, we could be in a room full of like elders, and you know, Sarah Vaughan will come on or Nina will come on, and she'd be like, "Oh, that's so and so," and I'm like, "Did my job."
Yes.
Thank you.
Cultural competence.
Parenting win.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice that you're. Yeah. If you're. I mean, we have all one big thing of our modern world is stuff going by fast and new and all that. But in this culture, we've had so many great creators and, you know, creative people, and they shouldn't be forgotten or not known about. I mean, the richness of what you learn about America from all of our art forms.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones that happened in the past. If you, the more you know about those, the more you know you're not listening to anything that never happened before.
Exactly.
Really.
Exactly.
And probably not as well done. But not to now we're also in a period of, this is a great period of time for art and artists as well. It's just not, I think the 20th century was just kind of an anomaly where music was like right. kind of out front.
Yeah.
Now there are many ways to entertain oneself.
Yeah.
But music right. as an art, I mean, all you know, through time, back into caveman days, whenever the drum came out, it's like one of the only real-time arts.
Yes.
Right.
That you yeah. could see. A painting was a painting. You know, again, drama is real-time, but it involves a lot more people. But something that was going on in real-time.
Yeah.
Now we have TV, you have computers, we have all manner of things, ways to immerse yourself in virtual worlds. So there's more competition also for one's attention.
Yeah.
But despite this, we have so many great musicians out in the world making all kinds of sounds. I mean, we got young cats around yeah. here making beautiful
and,
music.
And in spite yeah. of how, in spite yeah. of how the economic situation has changed
Which
drastically
is not, zero
and
money.
Not favorably towards music,
right? Especially just, for artists who were struggling to begin
already.
With.
Right.
But yeah, seriously, the money has dried up. But
it's amazing to see how many people still
yeah.
still pursue it.
Well, because mm-hmm. we, you know, you have your main mode of. Means of creation now, these, I mean, computers, whatever ways, things we can complain about, you still, a person has access to enough gear, and right. if they have creativity,
yeah.
I mean, they can, I mean, we used
they
to do
to
little
it.
Four tracks,
right.
little cassette
right.
recorders, and
right.
make our sounds, and some of the best recordings I ever made were made with
right.
these toys. Now you could, and now they
now
sound
crap. Now you can record an entire album on
and
your phone.
Awesome, exactly. And then there are kids and people who yeah. can manipulate these things to these super high levels.
Oh, yeah.
So we are blessed, and so I'm not, you know, nostalgic yeah. for the past ever.
Right. Well, it's interesting because there's this YouTube channel that I watch that basically does little 15-minute concerts of indie bands. Mm. Come, it's based in Chicago, so these bands.
Oh, cool.
There are a lot of bands who come through Chicago, yeah. so these indie bands coming through Chicago, and it's really the one thing that's really nice about it is they have a nice variety,
right.
and it's really interesting to see how these different bands do. Different things. Like sometimes, you know, it could be one person with just an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the power rock trio.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, you know, it's a quintet and it's, you know, violin
oh,
and
wow.
bass and guitar. And sometimes you got a drummer and he's at a drum kit, but he's also got a drum pad with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, sometimes it's people that, you know, like they've got synthesizers hooked up to their guitars
oh, yeah.
and stuff, and they're tweaking stuff, and it's all like it's all of this. It's all of this stuff that's available now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
For creating music, your ability to sculpt your sound, and I go back to Hendrix and think
yeah.
about
yeah. Yeah,
being,
how he did it, right?
Being a kind of, you know,
yeah.
Hendrix
and, early
also,
on
and also the Beatles in the
yeah.
in the studio saying, well, let's
yeah, there's like
this. Yeah.
early class, what's it? I was like, a music concrete. There's like early classical music, of like computer music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, some of that was early in the 20th century, and then Jimmy... like you said, the Beatles. Let me think. Some other cats. I mean, other Sun Ra. Like, there's people.
Mm.
The other aspect. I mean, I guess I bring up Sun Ra. Another aspect of Jimmy that is cool now is Afrofuturism. He's
oh, yeah.
one of the
right.
early
yeah.
cats. He isn't the earliest cat to do that. I mean, Du Bois has essays and
right.
stories of Afrofuturism. So
right, right, right.
We had Afrofuturism in the past, but
right.
but like Jimmy is one. You know, he's one of the first. And then it just also has to do with the time period. He's out. When we're going to the moon and
mm-hmm.
things like that. So space consciousness about outer space and whatever, Star Trek, all these kinds of things. But, you know, again, when I watch Star Trek and stuff, with the exception of Uhura, there weren't a whole lot of black folks.
Right.
I like that we have Funkadelic, all that show that we are from space. We go to space.
Mm-hmm.
So we exist.
And we make it funky.
In sci-fi. Exactly. So despite, you know, the segregation of the sci-fi, there were people who came in and they were doing this.
Better about it these days. When I was a kid, I would watch. It was
where the black folks
fiction.
Me too.
Exactly. But you would look at it like, was there a race war in the past
right?
or something?
Is there only one left? Is it just her?
He's like, no.
And you'd always see like somebody would go to a planet, and the planet would just be like, even if the aliens were blue, everyone would be blue.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
there was no
I
different
see.
Shade of
I
blue. Everyone was the same
so green,
shade.
Everyone is green.
Everyone's like, the same
yeah.
shade of green. Yeah,
I know what you're wishing for.
Yeah.
See, I see what you're doing.
So we get
all right, well, I
want to
see you play, man.
Yeah, but we should do a drop.
Uh-huh. Pay the bills.
I don't know what you think. You paying no bill.
50 minutes past the hour, you listen to Homegrown, your show about local art. Stay tuned for Sunday morning wake-up call. After Murders, of course, Rick Moore. His guest is going to be McCall Dempsey, founder and executive director of Southern Smash, talking about eating disorder awareness. But first, we're here with our man, Jamal Milner. Jamal.
I guess guitar disorder awareness.
Possibly. There we go. All
right, well, yeah, here's one of my favorite Jimmy tunes, and they're ones that are appropriate to play solo, and you're not Jimi Hendrix. So this is Little Wing.
Awesome.
I think that's your album name right there. Slight
right?
Guitar Disorder. That works. Oh my gosh. So is it weird to try to play Hendrix on an acoustic guitar? Does that even really work?
Yeah, I mean, he could do it. But I mean, everything, like, you have the show. This is Sunday morning, but you had a show about adult things,
right.
The adult thing in music, like if you play solo, it's like being naked, and you just have to be how I look.
Yeah, right.
So that's what I would say about it.
Yeah, here it is.
It's raw and hard in that way that you're so exposed. With electric guitar and band, you have moments where you can hide and stop.
This
would be like, I guess, in acting if you have some monologue
or a solo.
Or even a small ensemble where you're forced to carry a lot of the weight with your performance.
Yes.
So that's what makes, I think, acoustic things more difficult.
So speaking of the other side of that, Joss and Pete Spahr, have you guys been working through these tunes?
Oh, yeah. Well, over years, we're going to get together this afternoon, in fact, a little, and run through. But yeah, I've played with those guys for many, many years, or over the years. In fact, I mean, that's another funny thing. When I was a student, the guy across the hall from me first year was Joss, gave him drum lessons. So the very first time I met Joss was given the lesson to one of my classmates. And then Pete Spahr, when I was in school, I was never able, I think this is funny to this day. There was always way better guitar players than me in jazz. So I didn't get into jazz ensemble till like the last semester of my last year. But there was like a B ensemble, and Pete directed that. So he got me into that band, and so I knew him. So both of them were kind of like, I've known him from being a teacher. And then now we work together as we're all old.
So, but how is that? I mean, does that make collaborating with them even easier because you have that automatic shortcut, that automatic understanding of how each other works because they were teachers?
Yeah, and we're, I mean, maybe I might even say more like, in like, again, you work with a lot of different actors a lot, then you kind of get a family vibe.
Ability
to interact and know. There's more, so, I mean, subconscious.
Right.
But it is from, you couldn't automatically go meet some random people and necessarily
and
have
do that
connect.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think we have, you know, just a good, we have communicated in the subliminal ways we communicate in art.
Many
times. So when we do perform, because again, it's still open. I mean, we're trying, where I say so-called jazz, but I prefer Nicholas Payton's term, just Black American music, which it takes all this in. So-called jazz, we improvise.
In fact, isn't Black American music a redundant term?
It's all music, exactly. Mm. It's pretty much most of American music that's popular.
You know, but it's also great when you're working with people where you have that shorthand and you can be like, oh, his right ear twitched.
Yeah,
I know
we
where
know
we're
this,
going.
Exactly. third base coach.
Right.
We don't have any gang signs because my hands are busy.
We're heading into a bridge. Everybody get ready. You know?
Yeah. And so that improvisational part. And I think, I mean, again, people like Jimmy's era, if you think about how music developed, jazz was the pop music probably when Jimmy was a kid.
When he was little.
And then it becomes rock and roll with Chuck Berry's and Little Richards and all those. Rosetta Tharpe. I got to give up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no Jimi Hendrix without Rosetta Tharpe. On the real. There's a lot, a great number of great women and African American women who were Memphis Minnie, who were great guitar players and composers, and who influenced the blues traditions, which influenced Jimi Hendrix was of all things a master of blues.
A lot of people think it somewhere else.
Don't think about it.
Jimmy's blues is like
smoking.
It's weird, hard, and difficult. It's just
He gets into Delta
it's
blues
deep.
Stuff, like those really like. Things like Hear My Train A-Comin', which we will try to play. It's like a Mississippi tune, like a Delta blues.
But he also has
also has things that are more like modern Chicago blues, like Come On, which is an Earl King song. It's like a rock and roll, New Orleans kind of blues. So and then again, all the crazy things he played with Little Richard. So he played with the Isley Brothers. He played in he was from lived in Nashville. He was a veteran. So I mean, Jimmy's all American. So he was a paratrooper. He got injured as a paratrooper. And then him and Billy Cox, who was still alive actually. He was the bass player in Band of Gypsies, but they were in the military together. I'm trying to think of all these. I've only gotten to meet Buddy Miles. I'm trying to think of people who are related to or connected to Jimmy, but that's the only musician who played with him that I've gotten who was really in his band, because he played at the Outback Lodge 10 years ago or so.
Oh, wow.
And so I got him to sign my Band of Gypsies record, and he reluctantly signed it because he didn't get any money for it. And now I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing like, that's awesome, Buddy Miles. R.I.P. You hooked me up with a sign and some stuff.
That's amazing.
Know you got ripped off on.
Yeah.
So that was like, but he was like, but he was awesome. He wasn't. I mean, I can't. Yeah. I guess my face you can see on the internet.
Jamal, thank you so much for coming here and being
for
with us.
Me.
Yeah.
It is tomorrow.
Yes.
Right.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
The Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
You, Robert Jospe, Pete Spar.
That's going to be a great music night,
Jimmy,
man.
And everyone, Jimmy, come out. It's a little place, but, you know, come get
pack
this
it.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
And we will try to do our best.
Thank
Excellent.
You so much.
And that is Homegrown, your show about local art.
It's over?
It's over.
Already?
We're done.
But
stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call. All right. Somebody actually didn't set this up. All right. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call and your host, Rick Moore, talking about... what's he talking about?
Eating
and
disorders.
And his guest, McCall... Yes, eating disorder awareness with his guest, McCall Dempsey, founder and executive director of Southern Smash. This is Leslie. We got Jamal. We'll hope David comes back sometime. Peace!
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.